Welcome to Emmanuel Church. And yeah, thank you for being here today. Wasn't that cool seeing Pastor Jeff all the way in Thailand? I remember the night that that Zach gave his life to Jesus. So I remember that. And I remember talking with him about the Bible when we both knew nothing about it. So it's really cool to be able to see that. And it's cool to see that when we have this word behind us, sent, and we're talking this month about missions and about the kingdom and how Jesus has a plan to spread the kingdom throughout the world. It's cool to have these tangible moments, even with Pastor Jeff on the ground in Thailand with one of our young punks, just like me, sent out all the way to the other world, other side of the world in Thailand. So isn't that exciting? Amen. I really consider it a privilege to be able to be a part of this church, and to be able to teach. And I consider it a privilege because Emmanuel Church doesn't just talk about what the kingdom is. They do it. And I love that. I love that. And, that is kind of the series we're in right now. If you guys were here last week, you'll remember Pastor Jeff shared a little bit about the idea that the harvest is plentiful. I'm going to share today about how the workers are few. And then Pastor Cal next week is going to talk about how we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And that's part of our sent theme this month. And I'm going to dive right in here we'll just kind of see what the Lord has for us today. This is going to be fairly topical, so we're going to be jumping around mostly the Gospels today. So if you have your Bibles and you're ready to start flipping over here and back and forth, we're going to be jumping around a bit because we are talking about a single phrase this morning, which is the workers are few. If you can see it on the screen there, that phrase is coming out of Matthew 9:35 and Luke 10:2 is where we're finding that phrase. Pastor Jeff mentioned it last week, but these are two different contexts where Jesus is sharing this message, and in both contexts, he's sharing it with disciples. At one point, it's when he's talking to the 12, and another point, it's when he's sending out the 72. So this is what he says to the workers, to the church, about the kingdom of God, about our mission, what we're supposed to do. The phrase that we're pausing on today is this idea that the workers are few. Jesus is using an analogy here of farming. He talks extensively about farming in the New Testament. Often when he shares parables, he talks about the harvest. He talks about the planters. He talks about all kinds of things to do with this analogy. And he's simply taking something that his readers understood. Farming, they understood that. And he's comparing that to spiritual reality. And so this morning, when we look at this phrase, the workers are few, basically what he's talking about the kingdom of God. And he's saying those that are doing the sowing and those that are doing the watering and those that are reaping this harvest are few. And so what that says to me is that this is going to be a lot of work. You guys know the phrase, many hands make light work, and Jesus is simply pointing out there are not many hands. There's a far greater need than there is hands that are willing to work that need. And that's the reality he's talking about. So not only does it mean that it's going to be a lot of work, but I think it actually means this morning that I think we need to be strategic. If there's only few and there's much to be done, then we need to be strategic about what we're doing. And so I want to look at that this morning by looking at the life of Jesus, looking at what he did, looking at what he modeled for us, so that we could take a few characteristics. We're going to take three characteristics from the life of Jesus today that allow us to be more strategic when it comes to reaping the harvest that he says is plentiful, that Jeff made very clear to us is imminent, it's right before us, and it's big. There's a lot of work to do. Amen. Can we look at the life of Jesus? You guys cool with that? I love looking at the life of Jesus. Being in the Gospels this week was really encouraging for me again to just like look at the Gospels intently and say, man, Jesus is a busy guy. He's doing a lot of stuff. The first thing I want to talk about just kind of brings me to this story. I was talking to someone, part of our church here, a couple weeks back. They were gone to a wedding. And they were meeting up with a bunch of friends to go to this wedding because one of the friends was getting married, and they were all farmers. farmers in kind of the terrace, like northern British Columbia region. He told me this story. He said, I'm sitting at the wedding and I'm talking with this friend of mine, and he is like just rattled because he had to leave the field, the harvest field, to be at the wedding. And he was very aware, because he was a farmer and he knew that the harvest was plenty and it was ready, that by him going and driving to this wedding and taking the day and a half off or whatever it took him to go to this wedding, that he was not going to be able to work the harvest. And he knew there was going to be a consequence to that. And my friend tells a story in the way that he says, they were actually officially married and they're getting ready to eat, he's looking at his watch and he's like, if I go right now, I could probably get half of it off and we'll be good, right? We still don't know the consequence of his actions, but we know that his harvest definitely got hit hard, and he definitely lost crops. That's in our day and age. That's a reality of today. Not all of us are farmers, but that's a modern day story of somebody that made a sacrifice to not be at the harvest field when it was ripe. And that's the first characteristic of Jesus that I want to share today, is that Jesus was always present. I believe that somebody that is a worker of the harvest, a harvester, must be present. If we're not at the field when the harvest is ripe, we're going to be in trouble. I want to just read one scripture that Jesus shares. If you jump to that next slide, Becky. This is Jesus in Luke 9:62. He says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus is sharing this analogy. Again, like I said, he talks extensively about the field. Those are important words that Jesus says. He says, if you're going to put your hand to the plow, if you're going to invest in the work that I call you to, if you're going to realize that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and you're going to put your hand to the plow, he said, it's absolutely strategic that you don't turn back. The next verse there is Jesus in 9:58, just before that in 62. He says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus said this in response to someone that told him that they wanted to follow him. They wanted to do the work that he had set out to do. They wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, that's fine, but I want you to know, I want to make something really clear. Foxes have dens, right? The birds, they have their nest. They have a place to lay their head, but the Son of Man does not rest. He doesn't take a break. And if you know that text well, we know that Jesus as well tells the one gentleman to let the dead bury the dead. He wants to go back and bury his father. He says, no, we're going. Let the dead bury the dead. The other one says, well, I want to say goodbye to my family. No, let's go. So Jesus makes something very clear to us, that the harvest is plentiful, and if you put your hand to the plow, there's no rest. And if you're a farmer in here, you know that that's the reality. When the harvest is on, everybody drops everything and goes. This farmer knew very well that if he went to that wedding, that he would lose the harvest. And so Jesus is very strategic about saying that the workers must be present. It is not okay for them to turn their backs on the harvest at any time. This is difficult for me. It's difficult for me because I don't feel like I have that kind of capacity. Like this gentleman wanting to go off to the wedding, I feel like there's other things calling for my attention. Anybody in that boat? You know what it feels like to have many things calling for our attention? And so I think sometimes I feel guilty of not being able to be on all the time. You know, Jesus modeled this in Luke chapter 19. There's a story of Zacchaeus. Most of you guys know the story. One of the things that has always been intriguing to me about the story of Zacchaeus is this idea where Jesus was at the moment when he saw Zacchaeus. I don't know if many of you guys know, but Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem that time. He'd been to Jerusalem many times before, but it was in Jerusalem that time that he would be crucified and hung on a cross, wrongfully accused. It was that time when he was on that road to Jerusalem that he was walking to his deathbed. It was his last time walking to Jerusalem. He was a busy guy. And then there's this man in the trees, Zacchaeus. Seems like it's such a time as this. Seems like he's supposed to do something about it. It's that guy nagging you at the grocery store when you got other things to do. And Jesus was like, nah, man, I'm going to go die for the sins of the world. And he kept walking, right? That's not how the story goes. But he could have said, I got things on my plate. Dude, like, go climb another tree. But he didn't. While he was going to bear our sins, he stopped. Jesus modeled what it looked like for us to always be on. Kingdom is most important all the time, no matter what else is there. I want to share a bit of an illustration with you. I just want to say that this is my life here, this wonderful glass of water here is my life, okay? And the Lord showed me very clearly, very recently in my life, that I don't have enough room at the top of my glass. If this is the bucket of my life, and I leave it this full, I don't know about you guys, but I don't usually leave it that full. I usually get it like right about there. That's usually where I live my life as a North American. That's usually where I put my life when it comes to work, when it comes to raising my family, when it comes to loving my wife, when it comes to meeting the needs of this community. I live my life right there. And Jesus was very clear with me over this last year that he lived a life that was willing to be interrupted. He carried heavy burdens, but there was always room in his cup. But that's where I live my cup. So when the kingdom calls, this is what happens to my cup. There's no capacity left. It just pours over. That's not a pretty sight when that happens in my life. Jesus is talking about capacity here. He's saying, if you're going to be a worker of mine, you need to live a life with capacity so that when harvest is plentiful, which we know it is, you always have room. You always have room. It's the only way you and I can be like Jesus is if we live our lives purposefully with capacity. And the world is lying to us and telling us that we need to be more busy and do more things. And Jesus is actually saying, have capacity. So when you put your hand to the plow, you never have to look back. And I think that's a difficult thing to do. But Jesus says the kingdom is always on. It's always on. The harvest is always plentiful, and there's not many workers. So don't ever put your hand to the plow and turn back and look the other way. I want to move on a little bit because this is not my only point this morning. But would we make a commitment, Emmanuel Church, to be a church that lives our lives with room for gospel, room for mission, room for kingdom? Could we do that? Could we not be busy for the sake of being busy, but could we leave room so that when the harvest is plenty, we can reap that harvest? Amen? The second thing I wanted to talk about this morning is this idea that the workers must be observant. The story of Zacchaeus gives us a good picture into this as well. It's a good tie-in to this point, but this idea that the workers must be observant. In the Zacchaeus story, Jesus does something really profound, right? He stops, and it says he actually looked up into the tree. He was being observant. He stopped on this road. He was busy. He had things to do. He didn't have time to stop and smell the flowers, if you know what I'm saying. But he did. That's exactly what he did. He stopped, and he looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus. In Matthew, Jesus talks and he says, when he saw the crowds, again, important word, Jesus stopped, he saw the crowds, And it said that he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus stops and he's observant to the needs of his world. He realizes they're broken. He realizes they're lost and helpless. Jesus paid attention to the harvest. If the broken world around us is the harvest, Jesus paid attention to it. He didn't just walk away. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. We're not sure how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, but it shows us that he was intently aware that he was there, that he was in need, that his heart was ready. You know, I'm not a farmer, so I don't really know a whole lot about farming. But what I do know, with a little bit of research, is that a farmer, when they're checking to see if the wheat is ready, they actually pop one of the seeds off and they throw it in their mouths. You're nodding your head. Is that correct? And they chew on it. And I've heard that if it's chewy, it's not ready. This is coming from a farmer. If it's chewy, it's not ready. If it's crisp, it's time to go, right? If there's some crispiness to that seed, it's ready to go. And I believe that Jesus was constantly checking the harvest. He was constantly looking. Another thing that happens when the harvest is ready is that the wheat actually begins to lean. Is that real? And so if the wheat begins to lean, the harvest is telling us, I'm ready. Okay? And if we're looking at this picture that Jesus is painting, the harvest are those that do not yet believe and know the truth of Jesus. The world around us that does not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is the harvest. So like a farmer looking at the wheat, we need to be intently focused on those around us. And we need to realize when they're leaning. Amen? We got to realize when there's something going on here, more than maybe we can see initially. But we have to open our eyes and we have to be ready to see that this harvest is plentiful. And Jesus had great compassion for the world around him. One of my youth, I was fishing with him the other day, and he used this phrase. He said, red sky at night is a sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning is a sailor's warning. I'm a fisherman. I'd never heard that phrase before. I felt a little ashamed. But here's a sailor watching his surroundings, being vigilant to know that things are moving and shifting and happening in the world around him, and he's got to be observant. There's signs. You know, as a fisherman this time of year, one of my favorite phenomena is when the frost comes, the first morning that the frost comes, you can guarantee that there's going to be water boatmen returning to the lakes. And it's so scientifically beautiful to watch because you get out in that boat and all of a sudden you start seeing these boatmen hit the water. Right? We need to be observant. We need to notice the little strategic things going on around us because Jesus was. He was that observant to the people around him. He noticed and he saw what was going on. Knowing what's going on is important. I feel like over the years, evangelism was this thing that we would do out of habit or out of necessity. And I feel like sometimes the very act of evangelism was more important than the people being evangelized. Jesus never modeled that. Jesus never modeled standing on the soapbox condemning the world to hell. Jesus knew people. He stopped. He had compassion. He met them where they were at. an old school stand on the street corner preaching is not around very much anymore, because I think the church as a whole has gotten better at this, and we've adopted this idea of something that we call friendship evangelism, and we started saying maybe Jesus had relationship with people, maybe we should too. And I think that's not a bad conclusion to draw, that Jesus loved people. I mean, it is our mission statement at a church, as a church, to love people in all stages of life. So it's strategically important that we know the seasons of the harvest. We know and understand where people are at. And that is the third thing that I wanted to share this morning, is this idea that Jesus knew the importance of each season. The importance of each season. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8, the Bible talks about this idea of there is a time to, I'll read it, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. It seems to say that there's seasons when it comes to the planting and the harvesting of the field. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 9, Paul sheds a little bit of light on this idea. And he says that one would come to plant the seed and another would come to water it. And so it seems that with this whole analogy, that there's this idea that seasons are important. That as the workers of God, we have more than one responsibility when it comes to reaping the harvest. We must plant the harvest. We must water the harvest. We must reap the harvest. But they're different seasons. Jesus as well talks about this in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, is this idea of Jesus when he's talking about the parable of scattering the seed. And many of you guys know this text, but Jesus basically says that when the farmer goes and scatters the seed, that seed tends to land on these different places in the garden, right? And he says basically that there's the hard footpath in the middle of every field was this hard footpath where the workers were to walk, and some of that seed lands on that footpath. And then the birds come and eat it up. Doesn't reap a harvest. Secondly, he's talking about this shallow soil that's on bedrock. There's just not enough sustenance, so the seed begins to take root, but there's not enough sustenance, so it gets choked out and dies. Then he talks about the idea of the seed that lands among the weeds and among the thorns. And again, there's some room for growth, but at some point, it's choked out. And then lastly, Jesus talks about fertile soil. And he says when the seed lands on fertile soil, it reaps a plentiful harvest. And so Jesus is saying something to us here. If this is a comparison from farming to a spiritual reality, Jesus is saying that some will hear and see and will fully receive. But he seems to be telling us but that some may not. And if Jesus is calling this a reality, then is that okay? If this is the reality he's talking about, is it my fault if some don't hear? See what I'm saying? The season is important, and I feel like sometimes we feel this overwhelming need to beat the harvest into submission, if you know what I'm saying. You stupid wheat, just listen to me. I'm really curious about this, Sue. What happens when you harvest the wheat early? Okay, it rots. Did you guys see? This is coming from a farmer. I didn't get a chance to Google that. Starts to mold and rot. When a harvest is plentiful, when a harvest is ripe, it doesn't fight back. We've got to stop fighting with the harvest. Jesus told us, he told us that there's good soil. And he told us that because he wants us to deal with different types of soil differently. I really believe he wants us to be observant to where someone is at. It's so important that we don't just out of, whether you call it habit, just bulldoze the harvest the same way we did it yesterday or last week or 20 years ago. It's so important that we realize that Jesus says people are important. I love them. That's who Jesus had compassion on. Remember, Pastor Jeff shared that last week. People. It's so important to remember that they are important, that they count, that if they are soil that is like the path, it's okay. We don't have to grab the till and just till the heck out of them so that we can get the seed into them. You guys hear what I'm saying? There's a time to plant seed. There's a time to water that seed. And there's a time to harvest that seed. And I'm telling you, when the harvest happens in my life, it's simply because of obedience to Jesus. And I can guarantee you, it's easy. When people just roll into your lap and start asking all those questions and you just reap that harvest, and it's like, that was amazing. That was so good. That means you've somehow stopped and observed and been obedient to Jesus, and the harvest is just ripe, and the wheat is just falling off, ready to go. I believe that when someone is ripe for the picking, when the harvest is ripe for the picking, it's easy. And so we must reap that harvest. But I do believe there's these different seasons. Don't cut it too early. Don't miss it. Be attentive. Would we leave room in our cup for those that are ready? You know, as a pastor, I was talking to Pastor Jeff about this. As a pastor, I think most of my meetings are important. I think that's just a pride thing. But my wife is important too. My family's important. And I say no to a lot of meetings. I call a lot of meetings off at the last moment. And then there's those times when I have to tell my wife, this is bigger. This is more important. Something's telling me this is right. This is important. This time is right. The harvest is plentiful. And there's those times when I gotta go, because I don't want to look back. I put my hand to the plow and I don't want to look back. But there's these strategic times when you just know, because the Lord of the harvest is showing you, this is it. This is strategic. This is important. Those are the times we can't miss. We can't miss. How do we know someone's readiness to hear the gospel? How do we know? This is where I want to end this morning. How do we know what that looks like? And I want to just talk about the importance of the ask. Because I'll never forget it. Artie, I'll never forget when you told me that Jesus modeled it for us. He would walk up to someone and he would ask them, do you want to follow me? It's profound, isn't it? Jesus asked he spoke to the harvest. He asked leading questions. Do you want to know about Jesus? And if they said no, he walked away. He didn't get out the fork and start, you know, cleaning the ground so that he could seed it. But he asked the harvest. He said, do you want to know? Do you want to learn? Do you want to follow me? It's so important that we ask. Jesus, there was this time when there was this blind man begging. And Jesus actually walks up to this blind man that's begging. Like, it's probably pretty clear he wants food, money, and sight. Like, it's probably pretty clear. But Jesus actually says, "What can I do for you?" He asked the harvest where they're at. He had a conversation with the harvest. What if we open our eyes a little bit and asked the question like Jesus? Then we would maybe know where someone's heart is at. We would then know if we are planting the seed, if we're watering the seed, if the seed just got eaten by the bird or not. Right? We would know. And sometimes we try to assume these things. But man, isn't it important that we ask the harvest what they need? We ask them. And then we're respectful to them. And we love on them. And I was driving into church this morning, and I was on my way to Don's, because I love McDonald's. And I was driving by, and I noticed that a friend of mine was sleeping at the doorstep of our church again. And I just really felt impressed that I needed to do something for her. And I pulled in. I hesitated. I missed the Holiday Inn turn off. And I went a little bit further. And then I was coming from Glen Rosa. And then I hit the Wendy or the Dairy Queen parking lot. I was, okay, I got to do this. So I pulled in. And I just kind of looped around. And then I drove past her bed. And she wasn't there. And so I was like, okay, Lord. What are you doing here? And then I looped the van around, and then there she was. And then I started driving away. So it's like, oh, she wasn't in her bed. It wasn't right. I don't know. Maybe I just, whatever. And I started driving away, and then I was like, no, I got to do this. So I looped back, and I rolled down my window. I looked at her. I called her by name. "How you doing?" I said. She said, I'm cold. I said, what can I do for you? I said, just some breakfast. What would you like? Sausage, just something sausage. Oh, and a large coffee. Could I get a large coffee? Absolutely. I'll be right back. And I zipped around and I grabbed my breakfast. I grabbed her breakfast. And that's what I felt the Lord calling me to do this morning on my way to church. I was coming to prepare my message because I wasn't ready yet. I wasn't done. I had important things to do. But I want to talk to you about something that I think is really, really important. I've known this young lady for a long time. And when I dropped her food off to her, she told me that God gave her her blanket and that when she sleeps in it, she gets high because God wants her to be high. And when I read the Gospels, I'm reminded of a Jesus that did not stand for mental illness, that did not stand for sickness, that did not stand for drug addiction. He healed the sick. I'm not saying by this at all that all mental illness is demonic or not. I'm not even having that conversation. But people that were not right in their minds, Jesus healed them. Or he cast out demons. But he fed them. He clothed them. He listened to them. And there's this part of me that wants to lay my hands on that young lady and see everything that is plaguing her leave. I want her to be set free. But can you listen to me this morning, church? We spent too many years overstepping our boundaries. And we spent too many years just trying to love people the way it worked last time. Jesus asked me to feed her this morning. And I pray for the day that I get to set her free completely. I pray for the day that she can have complete freedom in her mind. I pray for that day, but I don't bulldoze over it. And I've seen people try to cast demons out of people that have no care in the world. Some of them are praying that the demons would take them. And so I'm saying, would we pause? Don't get me wrong. There have been seasons when I've reaped the harvest, when I've gone to people that the Lord showed me needed to ask him into their lives right then and there. He's given me clear direction before. That day, Zacchaeus walked right into his hands. He didn't even have to do anything. As soon as he showed up in Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus said, I'll pay back everything. He just melted into Jesus' hands. He didn't have to do anything. There's been those moments in my life. There have too been moments in my life where I have seen people healed. I've watched anxiety flee like that, gone. But don't march into every situation expecting Jesus to take away mental illness. Jesus cares about the harvest. Know their name. Love them. Feed them. Clothe them. And if Jesus lays it on your heart to heal the sick and to see illness cast out and to see mental illness gone, to see demons gone, and you pray again and you make sure he's ready and you do it gently. But could we end today saying that we're going to pray to him and we're going to ask him to show us what it looks like? Would we not steamroll? In John, Jesus says that you will do everything that I have done and even greater things. But Jesus clothed, Jesus fed, Jesus listened. Jesus listened again and again and again. And Jesus cast out demons and he healed the sick and he flipped the tables. You want me to keep going? You see what I'm saying? There's not one way to reap the harvest. So let's talk to the harvest because they're people. That's what he modeled. And secondly, let's ask the Lord of the harvest how he wants me to do this today. Could we do that as a church? This is my challenge to us this week. Jesus through Jeff asked us last week to pray that our hearts would be broken for the lost. And this week, these are my two challenges. Would you ask people in your life? Would you ask them what they need? Would you have capacity in your cup for that? And then secondly, when you've asked them, would you ask Jesus how he would like you to do it? How would you like me to make that happen, Lord? What does that look like? Can we do that as a congregation this week? Amen. Can I pray for you guys? Father, I just pray that you would speak, that you would show us the signs that are all around us, and that you would help us to be obedient to what you've called us to do, Father. And I pray for every person in this room right now that is thinking about a situation, that's thinking about a certain someone in their life. And I pray for wisdom to be downloaded right now, Jesus. Would you teach us when to listen? Would you teach us when to speak? Would you teach us when to heal the sick? Would you teach us when to reap the harvest? We love you and we give you the glory. Amen.